ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 9, titled The Passing Away of Bhishma Dev, text number 2. Also, we will be reading 3 as well. Tadate bhrataras sarve, sadasvaihi swarnabhushitaihi. Anugachan dadher vipra vyasa dhaumyadayas tatha tadate bhradaras sarve sadashve swarna bhushitaihi anugachan dadher vipra Vyasa dhaumyadayas tatha Tadate bhradaras sarve Sadashve swarna bhushitaihi Anugachan dadher vipra Vyasa dhaumyadayas tatha Tadate bhradaras sarve Sadashve sarnabhushitaihi Anugachan dadher vipra Vyasa dhaumyadayas tatha Tada At that time Te All of them Bhrataraha The brothers Sarve All together Sat Ashwaihi, drawn by first class horses, Swarna, gold, Bhushitaihi, being decorated with, Anugachan, followed one after another, Rathaihi, on the chariots, Vipraha, O Brahmanas. Vyasa, the sage Vyasa, Dhaumya, Adeha, and others, Tatha, also. At that time, all his brothers followed him on beautiful chariots drawn by first-class horses decorated with gold ornaments. With them were Vyasa and rishis like Dhaumya, the learned priest of the Pandavas and others. So there's no purport to this, so we will read the next one as well.
Bhagavan api viprashe rathena sadhananjayaha satarchiro chatanrapaha kuvera iva guhyakaihi.
O sage amongst the Brahmanas, Lord Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, also followed, seated on a chariot with Arjun. Thus, King Yudhishthir appeared very aristocratic, like Kuvera, surrounded by his companions, the Guhyakas. So, third verse is translation again. O sage amongst the Brahmanas, Lord Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, also followed, seated on a chariot with Arjun. Thus King Yudhishthir appeared very aristocratic, like Kuvera, surrounded by his companions, the Guhyakas. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Lord Sri Krishna wanted the Pandavas to be present before Bhishma Dev in the most aristocratic order so that he might be pleased to see them happy at the time of his death. Kuvera is the richest of all the demigods, and herein King Yudhishthir appeared like him, Kuvera. For the procession, along with Sri Krishna, was quite appropriate to the royalty of King Yudhishthir. It's a very short purport.
Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnana Jana Shalakhaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Rakunathanyutam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanyutamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanjana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kribasubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Here, we have almost started one chapter. Just one verse was completed yesterday. And now, we are trying to cover next two verses. Here, this series of chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam is very interesting because there are direct interactions between Krishna and his devotees. So we can see how Ashwatthama attacked. Then afterwards Krishna protected Maharaj Parikshit in the womb of his mother. Then we can see personal prayers by Kunti Devi. So now from there this chapter is moving to another very intimate pastime between Krishna and his very intimate devotee Bhishmadev. So there is this section of Bhagavatam, all these chapters together, even the future chapters coming forward, where there are very close interaction between Krishna and his devotees, further coming Pandavas. These chapters, in section I was looking into unveiling his lotus feet. So the whole chapters together are called Krishna and his devotees. So I was thinking it's such a beautiful presentation of interactions between the Lord and his devotees. Such a wonderful reciprocation between the Lord and his devotees. Now, if you see the position of Bhishmadev, it is very interesting. He is a topmost devotee. So Bhagavatam in the sixth canto, he is classified as one among the Mahajans. So there are 12 Mahajans and one of them is Bhishmadev. So we know Swayambhu, Narada, Shambhu, Kumara, Kapila, Manu, Prahlada, Janaka, Bhishma, then finally Balir, Vyasakir, Vayam. So Vayam means that is Yamaraj. So these are the 12 Mahajans and Bhishmadev is one among them. So he is a pure devotee indeed. And in this pastime, we can see different points regarding Bhishmadev. One point, it is very important that we should understand. So a verse coming forward in the same chapter, it is mentioned, Bhishmadev is actually speaking to Krishna himself. The personality of Godhead is right in front of Bhishmadev. So the Supreme Absolute Truth is right in front of Bhishmadev. And Bhishmadev addresses the Lord. He says, Eshavai Bhagavan Sakshat Adyo Narayana Puman Mohen Maya Lokam Guha Charati Vrishnishu. So he makes the point that the most important point in this verse is that Adyo Narayana Puman. So Bhishmadev mentions that you are the Sakshat, you are directly present in front of me, Adyo Narayana Puman. So you are even the origin of Narayana. So Srila Prabhupada makes it very clear that Bhishmadev understood the supreme most position of Krishna himself. He didn't just consider Krishna in the four-handed form or in any other form, but he could actually understand the position of Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and also the source of different incarnations, including Narayan himself. So Bhishmadev addressed Krishna as Adyo Narayana Puman. And then he mentioned Mohan Maya Lokam. And look at us. We are completely being bewildered by Krishna's external energy. Or actually, for pure devotees, it is internal energy. Guha Charati Vrishnishu. And you are just wandering, you are just enacting your pastimes among the Vrishnis. So Krishna is just like another Vrishni. Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, Vrishninam Vasudevosmi. I am among Vrishnis, I am Vasudev. He establishes his position and then he says, Pandavanam Dhananjaya. And among Pandavas, I am Dhananjaya, Arjun. So, this position, this unique position of Krishna is well known to Bhishmadev. And Srila Prabhupada explains this point, that is a verse from 10th canto, 14th chapter, Brahmaji's prayers to Krishna after the Brahma Vimohan Leela, to establish the position of Krishna compared to all different incarnations and different Narayan forms of the Lord. So, it's a very, very nice verse, you know. Narayanastam nahi sarva dehinam atmani adhishakhila lokasakshi narayanango narabhu jalayana tachabi satyam na tavaiva maya. So the Lord Brahma says, you are the original Narayan, you are the supreme controller. Since you are the soul of every embodied being and the eternal witness of all created realms. So the Lord Brahma, he actually misidentified the personality of Krishna. Because he saw Krishna just like a cowherd boy. So he mistook the supreme position of Krishna. And he thought he is an ordinary being. Then, by Krishna's mercy, when Krishna showed all the Narayan form, all the 400 forms are just coming from Krishna's body, then Brahma got convinced. And he actually surrendered unto Krishna and he started glorifying Krishna by different beautiful verses, as it is mentioned in Bhagavatam. So he established the point that Narayan is ultimately coming from Krishna, and these pastimes of Krishna are not the product of illusory energy, including his form. These are real, these are the absolute truth. Now, there was a very beautiful conversation between Krishna and Brahma. In fact, Krishna, in this conversation, it was a monologue. It was not a dialogue. Because Brahmaji spoke, but Krishna didn't reply anything. So first, Brahmaji said to Krishna, he mentioned this verse, and he said, you are the original Narayan. You are actually your father as well as mother. Because I didn't have any mother as such. So you are both father and mother. So Krishna was looking to Brahma as if, you know, is he speaking to me or someone else? And it's like, if someone asks some question, sometimes we look behind. Is there anyone actually behind to answer? So in the same mood, Krishna was telling, you know, I am just a cowherd boy. And here, Lord Brahmaji is present right in front of me. And he is addressing me as father. And I am not a father, I am a cowherd boy. So, to clarify the position, Brahmaji continued. He said, he actually presented few reasons why this Gopal this cowherd boy is the Supreme Lord, and Narayan is only an expansion of him. So first reason he presented was, even by the word Narayan means, Nara means all the living entities, the aggregate of all living entities, and Ayana means the shelter, the refuge. So ultimate shelter of all the living entities is Krishna himself. So Brahmaji said, so you are the actual Narayan. So here, same way, Bhishma Dev also established this point that Adyo Narayana Puman, you are the actual Narayan. Still, Krishna didn't actually accept. Krishna, you know, looked here, there. He didn't speak anything. Even the whole prayers of Lord Brahma, Krishna didn't speak anything, not even a word. After Indra's prayers, Krishna did speak. He mentioned, it is just to cut your pride, I did this pastime. But in this case, he didn't speak anything. And Brahmaji said, actually all these different incarnations, there are different Purusha avatars, even they take shelter in you. So in that way, you are the shelter, the original shelter. Then thirdly, he mentioned that, okay, that's fine. Even if you don't accept these points, finally, you are the actual witness of both spiritual and material world. Because as we know, Krishna is the source of both spiritual and material worlds. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartate. So, aham sarvasya prabhavo. Krishna is the source of everything, including both material and spiritual worlds. So, some people have this confusion. Who is supreme, Narayan or Krishna? Especially if somebody is from India. I had this confusion. I was thinking Narayan is the supreme. Then we have to actually understand why Krishna is supreme. So, there are many reasons establishing the supremeost position of Krishna. And as we can see here, Bhishma Dev is very clearly addressing Krishna as Adyo Narayana Puman. So that's why we can see Bhishma Dev is a Mahajan. And if you see the position of Mahajan, why he actually fought against Krishna? In yesterday's lecture, we heard one reason why Bhishma Dev fought against Krishna. Can anyone remember what was the reason we mentioned in yesterday's lecture? Yeah, that was one reason, that's right. One more thing, and the beginning of that was, Bhishma even fought, Prabhu mentioned that, Kesha Prabhu mentioned that, he even took the food given by Duryodhan. So he got bewildered in one sense, so he didn't do anything when Draupadi was disrobed. So he actually affiliated himself to the Kaurava side. This is one reason we can see, that is, This is a very external reason. That is, he was present in terms, so he was supported by Duryodhan. So that was an external reason. And apart from that, the Lord wanted to show that even a great devotee like Bhishma Dev fights against the religious principles, then he would be defeated. So Krishna wanted to use his own devotee to establish this point that no one can actually fight against the religious principles. No one can fight against the religious principles established by Krishna. If that happens, no matter whoever, they will be defeated. So, Krishna used his own devotee. And Bhishma Dev agreed to be in such a position. So, he would be known and his position would be confused. And people would in future question his position. Still, Bhishma Dev agreed to be in that position so that others could learn a very important point, that one should follow the orders given by Krishna himself. Then, next reason is again very interesting, that is, Bhishma Dev wanted to give chivalrous rasa to Lord Krishna. So the only way Bhishma Dev could give chivalrous rasa to Krishna is if he fights against. And if he has to fight against Krishna, then he has to be in the opposing party. There is no other way. So again, ultimately, even the fight against Krishna by Bhishma Dev itself is pure devotional service. And the intention, the main intention is to give pleasure to Krishna. So the action in itself is not falling down from the pure devotional standard. So as we know from Necro Devotion, Anyabhilashita Shunyam Jnana Karmadi Anavritam Anukulyena Krishnana Shilanam Bhaktir Uttama. So it is always mentioned that Anukulyena Krishna Anushilanam. Anukulyena means which has to be favorable for Krishna. In other words, it has to be favorable for the pleasure of Krishna. So sometimes even fighting could be for the pleasure of Krishna. Just like chastisement of Mother Yashoda, it is pure devotional service even though apparently she is hitting or about to hit Krishna. So the intention is that which matters, not just the action in itself. And apart from that, apart from these three points, the final point we can see is that everything is ordained by Krishna's will. So the whole pastime, there is Krishna's hand in that. So even this point is further mentioned by Bhishma Dev. Because Bhishma Dev, seeing Pandava's suffering, he was actually, his heart was melting. He was in pain. So we can see how Bhishma Dev interacts with the Pandavas when they arrive in front of Bhishma Dev, when he was lying on the arrow, on the bed of arrows. So here, the one important point that we can see is that the interaction and the reciprocation between Krishna and his devotees. So Krishna is very sensitive to reciprocate to his devotees. We can see the whole pastime of Bhishma Dev, how Krishna reciprocates to Bhishma Dev. When he was alive, during the battle, and also at the time of death. So we can see even the relationship between Vaishnavas, that is also based on reciprocation. Srila Prabhupada mentions in Nectar Devotion, the six loving exchanges, Prabhupada mentions that even the ISKCON as a society was established on the basis of six loving exchanges. So that is the significance of loving exchanges among devotees. And in the material world, we cannot have such a beautiful exchanges among people. It's not possible. Because of the basic false ego hinders that relationship. It is often said that if we meet a superior person, someone who is superior to us, how the false ego works. If we meet someone who is superior, then the false ego will act in such a way that we want to be in the same position as the superior. So we think, naturally, this is the tendency of the false ego, that is, I am as good as him. This is the nature of false ego. And if we meet someone who is on equal level, what happens? The false ego will make sure that, you know, actually I am superior to him. This is the nature, this is how the mind works. Maybe on the equal platform, maybe even among devotees, this principle is very well applicable to devotees, because even devotees on the equal level, you know, when we meet, we think, oh, you know, I am actually superior to him. This is the false ego, working of false ego. And in this conditioned state, by false ego, if we meet somebody who is inferior to us, then false ego will actually force to push them down, lord it over. This is the nature, this is how the false ego works. And even as devotees, we have to work with this false ego, because we have tendencies for all these three actions. So there is a real etiquette how to deal with devotees. So if we meet superiors, we have to be humble and we have to be ready to accept guidance and we have to be ready to serve them in that mood. Okay, of course, for all the relationship, the basis is service. But for seniors, we have to show respect. And for equals, we have to have loving relationship and also we need to, again, do service. And with juniors, we should be ready to help them in whatever way possible and should have a loving relation. We should never try to push them down. So this is what we have to deal with in our own relationship in this world, even among the devotee community. So With the loving reciprocation among the devotees, this community actually becomes spiritual world, like a spiritual world. Because spiritual world, there is no envy, and ultimately, the basis of all these kind of problems are envy. Now, Krishna's reciprocation, if you try to see, Krishna, he reciprocated so beautifully to Bhishma Dev on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. How? Okay. Bhishma was attacking Krishna. And did Krishna do anything? No, he did nothing. But he did something that was, he actually apparently broke his own promise by taking a wheel and trying to attack Bhishma Dev. Other than that, he didn't do anything. So it is mentioned that in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Kauteya Pradujanihi Name Bhakta Pranashyati. He says, O Arjun, declare boldly that my devotees never perishes. So he asked Arjuna to make the promise. Why? Because Krishna can break his promise. But if it is for his devotee, then he will never break his promise. So this is the loving reciprocation of Krishna. Then Krishna actually enjoyed the wounds caused by Bhishma. The arrows were hitting, piercing the body of Arjun. Arjun's arrows were piercing the body of Krishna was there, and the arrows were shot by Bhishma Dev, and some of the arrows actually pierced the body of Krishna. And it is mentioned that Krishna didn't feel any pain. It was just like flowers. So, see, to exchange that chivalrous rasa, how Krishna was cooperating, and Krishna was enjoying that rasa. So this is the beauty of reciprocation between Krishna and his devotees. And on top of that, even the Parthasarathi form of Krishna, Arjun couldn't see properly. Because Arjun was sitting on the chariot and he was fighting. Only Bhishma could see the form of Krishna. So it is mentioned, this special benediction was given to Bhishma, which he didn't even give to Arjun. See, so this is the kind of dealings between Krishna and Bhishma Dev, his pure devotee. And now, in this verse specifically, it is mentioned that Krishna wanted all Pandavas to go and meet Bhishma Dev victorious. They are victorious now after the battle of Kurukshetra. It's almost over. And when Bhishma Dev saw all the Pandavas, Bhishma Dev was in agony. He was very distressed. On one side, he was laying in the arrow of bed of arrows. So he must be in so much of pain. But on top of that, when he saw Pandavas, he was even more in distress first. And he mentioned that, you people don't really deserve to go through such a suffering. And he said, you all went through so much of suffering. And also think about Kunti Devi. She also had to go everywhere in the forest. She had lived in the forest so many years along with you. And still, how can I understand this position in one sense? Because you were always serving the Lord, and Supreme Lord was with you, and you are religious, and still, and you cannot do any sinful activity, still you had to go through so much of suffering. And Bhishma Dev's conclusion is that it is not because of any sinful reaction, but it is only because of the will of the Lord. So the conclusion is that why Pandavas went through all this kind of suffering, why did they go through so much of suffering, it is only by the will of the Lord, and the Lord was using his devotees to teach a lesson for all of us, to show that there is suffering in the material world, and irrespective of those suffering, one can be Krishna conscious. So to show that the Lord actually used Pandavas, and here he is using Bhishma Dev. And finally, why Krishna used Bhishma Dev to speak the religiosity is because Krishna wanted to glorify Bhishma Dev. Just to show that even in physically speaking, even in the most difficult condition, still a devotee's body and mind are quite fixed on Krishna and they can actually speak the truth. So Krishna wanted to show that. And for that he used Bhishma Dev. And it is also mentioned that, very interesting point, that the previous verse it is mentioned that there were Vyasadeva rishis like Dhaumya. They were there when Bhishmadeva was lying. All these great sages, they were present, including Vyasadeva. Think about Vyasadeva. He is literary incarnation of Krishna himself. And he has written, he has compiled all the Vedas. He has written Puranas. He has written Vedanta Sutra. So he knows, you know, no one can question the understanding or knowledge of Vyasadeva. And even the chief priest of Pandavas, Dhaumya, was there. And the Lord himself was there. So it was an assembly of all the devotees. And in that assembly, Lord Krishna wanted Bhishma to speak on Dharma to Yudhishthira Maharaj. So there is a very subtle and very important point in that. And this point is that Krishna wanted to show that Bhishma, even though apparently he is a worldly man, he was a king, he was fighting a battle, he was taking care of so many people. So apparently he was a worldly man. He was associated with so many different things. Still, Krishna wanted to show that he was even more qualified than Vyasadeva himself. So Krishna wanted to make that point. As his devotee, Krishna wanted to make this point that Bhishmadeva is more qualified than any one of them. And so Krishna made this arrangement so that Bhishma could speak religiosity, all the dharma, to Yudhishthira Maharaj. So Krishna wants to glorify his own devotees. It's a difficult thing. For a conditioned being, to glorify is very difficult. It is very easy to find fault. It's natural, as if it is, you know, as we have done, or it's true, we have done for many, many lifetimes. So if there is some mistake, we don't have to ask anyone. It is very easy to, yeah, we'll spot the mistake straight away. But if we want to glorify, then we have to scratch our head, you know, you think, really, what can I speak good about someone? So it has to be a Vaishnava practice actually to see what is good in others. We may not have that quality, but we had to think, how can we glorify? It's actually a quality of a devotee, you know. A quality is that he can actually find good in others and he can actually glorify them. So just by glorification, we actually get purified. And at the same time, the glorification has to be having some base to it. Not just, just words, word jugglery, or just flattering. There is difference between flattering and glorification. Flattering means just to gain something, speak something, which may not be really true. So devotees glorify, it's not based on that. Devotees actually see good qualities, and there are good qualities in devotees. And devotees actually naturally sees, and he actually glorifies that. That is beneficial. At the same time, if we receive some glorification, if we think that it is our glories, then we will fall down very soon. So it is our, you know, if we don't glorify others, if we see good qualities, and if we don't glorify, we will fall down. But at the same time, if someone glorify us, and if we accept those glories as our own glories, then we will fall down. You see, so in both sides, we have to be very careful. So rather, if someone glorifies, we had to be ready to give, pass it on to the spiritual master. Otherwise, you know, what is our quality? The reason is, we were, you know, even if we had some material skills, apparently, say, we may have some material skills, and now that we are using in Krishna service. So if someone is actually glorifying our material skill, which we are using in Krishna, we have to think back. Okay, we had the skill by the mercy of Krishna. Then how the skill is being used in service of Krishna? It is only by the mercy of spiritual master and other devotees. Otherwise, that material skill just remains just a skill, which we can find anywhere in the world. So one has to be very careful in this regard. And finally, Krishna wanted to show his supreme mercy to Bhishmadeva by being present in front of him when he was departing this world. So one reason it is mentioned why Bhishmadeva was lying on the bed of arrows without dying was he was waiting for the Uttarayana, when the sun goes to the northern direction. So Bhishma, in one sense, he was waiting for that, but more deeper reason was he was simply waiting for the presence of Krishna so that he can leave this world. So ultimately, the Lord reciprocated by being present right in front of Bhishmadeva, and seeing the Lord, he glorified the Lord, and he was actually narrating one after another different pastimes of the Lord, and he was mentioning, I am fixing my mind upon you by remembering these pastimes. And then finally he fixed mind completely upon the Lord and he left the world. So this is the beautiful reciprocation between Krishna and his devotees. So I see, is there any comments or questions? I stop here. Yes, please.
Government, thank you for a nice information. How did you fix your mind on Krishna?
In the age of Kali, the recommended process to fix mind on Krishna is by chanting Hare Krishna Mantra.
Yeah, some more
Okay, then if we elaborate on chanting, there are 5 items of devotional service that will help us to fix mind on Krishna naturally. One is, of course, chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra, associating with the devotees, residing in Madhura, worshipping the deities, and studying Srimad Bhagavatam. If we do all these 5 activities, naturally we will think about Krishna. So, it is very clearly mentioned. It is Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. So if we have Shravanam and Kirtanam, if we have hearing and chanting, then naturally remembrance of Krishna will come.
Anything?
You can maybe add. That's better.
We have to think about his hairs, his curly hairs, color of the hair, yes. Brightest color, then the age, their hue, sometimes blue also, then about his eyes, his lids, his movement of the eye, always seeing Radharani. One more part of Radharani, and he's seeing everybody, all the women, and the lotus have their eyes, nose, you know. What about Sisyamitra? Then the lips, his face, his neck, maybe 3 more times, you know, 3 lines, like at his chest, and then go the deep, and deep feet, and the 23 engravings on the feet. So, like that, we can try to learn. The more we learn about Krishna, we can never forget Krishna. Always be in our mind. Day and night, 24. Never go. Always remember to end.
Thank you.
Like you mentioned, Bhishma Dev sold the Rasa competition to Lord Sri Krishna. Is there any other example where devotees in competition with the Lord experience some
competition? We can see Lord Shiva fighting with Krishna. What was that? Shiva Jvara and Narayana Jvara, right? Narayana Astra and 10 Canto. I don't know whether the mood was to give Shiva Rasa. I can't exactly remember whether it's mentioned, but we can see competition between Lord Shiva and Krishna. Yeah?
So it is said that the book.
And also, competition we can see in the spiritual world is a lot of competition between the cowherd boys and Krishna.
Uddhava,
devotee
of Krishna, and cousin brother of Krishna. His body is same as Krishna, almost. He resembles Krishna.
Yes.
What is his position in the spiritual world?
Yeah. He is a resident of Dwaraka. Sorry, he's in Madhura. He's one among the Vrishnis. So in the eternal position, he's the Mantri Raj. So he's in the Madhura pastime or Dwaraka pastime?
Madhura.
Madhura, yeah. Because he in the material world he was in Madhura, then the whole residents of Madhura were transferred to Dwaraka, right? So that's his name.
He was praying to get grass.
Grass, yes.
And there is a creeper in Vrindavan.
Yeah. Has it to do anything with Uddhava Kund in Vrindavan? Or whether there's an Uddhava Kund in Vrindavan?
I'm not sure, but I think it's close where Krishna forms the Radharani's here.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. Thank you.
Have you heard why Vrindavan was lying on the bed of arrows? What was the story behind it? Have you heard somewhere, read? Why he was lying on the such a pure devotee? He was lying on the bed of arrows. You told few things.
Yeah.
But what was the real reason why he had to lie?
These reasons are all real.
Most terrible way of dying, you know. Such sharp arrows. And serious.
Ultimate reason is by the will of the Lord.
Yes. But will of the Lord also work because of something. Reaction.
I've
heard it.
Okay, that's good.
It could be right or wrong. He had pierced some animal while he was doing hunting.
Mm.
Many lied back.
Mm.
And then he pierced the animal so badly. That was the reaction why he had to die. So for every action there is a reaction.
Okay.
So therefore, I heard in India about 25 years back, there was a program on television and they were showing why they were to
okay.
leave the stage.
Yeah.
So I thought, why were you doing so much?
Because I don't know actually. Then Bhishma Dev is also a resident of the spiritual world. It's mentioned in first canto, he's there where Parthasarathi is worshipped as the Lord, as the Master. So, specific mention is about Dwaraka. So, Bhishma Dev is actually going back to Dwaraka. Yeah.
Because the Kshatriyas can be very cruel also. Very intense anger.
Yeah.
More of anger and ignorance and rajas.
Thanks. Any further questions? Thank you very much. Granthasrimad Bhagavatam ki Jai Prabhupada ki Jai Gaurav Prabhupada ki.